She was aware that the wave was worth a story, and maybe a big story at that. A couple of days ago, it had even occurred to her that something like the wave was probably just what the sluggish, disorganized staff of the Grapevine itself needed. But she had set the idea aside. She couldn't even explain her decision consciously. It was just that creepy feeling she'd begun to get. The feeling that maybe they should be careful with the wave. So far, she'd seen it do some good in Mr. Ross's class, and David said he thought it was helping the football team. But still, she was cautious. "Well, what about it, Lori?" someone asked. "The wave?" Lori asked. "How come you haven't assigned that story to us?" Alex asked. "Or are you just saving the good ones for yourself?"
"I don't know if anyone knows enough about it to write about it yet," Lori said.
"What do you mean? You're in the wave, aren't you?" Alex asked.
"Well, yes, I am," Lori replied. "But I still don't know."
A couple of the staff members scowled.
"Well, I think the Grapevine still should have a story reporting that it exists, at least," Carl said. "I mean, a lot of kids are wondering what it is."
Lori nodded.
"Okay, you're right. I'll try to explain what it is. But in the meantime, I want you all to do something. Since we still have a few days before the paper has to come out, try to find out everything you can about what kids think of the wave."
Ever since that night she had first discussed the wave with her mother and father at dinner time, Lori had purposely avoided the subject at home. It didn't seem worth creating any more hassles, especially with her mother, who could find something to worry about in everything Lori did, whether it was going out late with David, chewing on a pen, or the wave. Lori just hoped her mother would forget about it. But that night while she was studying in her room, her mother knocked on the door.
"Babe, can I come in?"
"Sure, Mom."
The door opened and Mrs. Saunders stepped in, wearing a yellow terry cloth bathrobe and slippers. The skin around her eyes looked greasy, and Lori knew she'd been putting wrinkle cream on.
"How are the crow's feet, Mom?"
she asked in good-natured humor. Mrs. Saunders smiled wryly at her daughter.
"Someday," she said, wagging a finger, "someday you won't think it's so funny."
She walked over to the desk and peered over her daughter's shoulders at the book she was reading.
"Shakespeare?"
"What did you expect?" Lori asked.
"Well, anything except the wave," Mrs. Saunders said, sitting down on her daughter's bed.
Lori turned to look at her.
"What do you mean, Mom?"
"Only that I met Elaine Billings at the supermarket today, and she told me Robert is a completely new person."
"Was she worried?" Lori asked.
"No, she wasn't. But I am," Mrs. Saunders said. "You know, they've been having problems with him for years. Elaine has talked to me frequently about it. She's been very worried."
Lori nodded.
"So she's ecstatic about this sudden change," Mrs. Saunders said. "But somehow I don't trust it. Such a dramatic personality change. It almost sounds like he's joined a cult or something."
"What do you mean?"
"Lori, if you study the types of people who join these cults, they're almost always people who are unhappy with themselves and their lives. They look at the cult as a way of changing, of starting over, of literally being born again."
"How else do you explain the change in Robert?"
"But what's wrong with that, Mom?"
"The problem is that it's not real, Lori. Robert is safe only as long as he keeps within the confines of the wave. But what do you think happens when he leaves it? The outside world doesn't know or care about the wave. If Robert couldn't function in school before the wave, he won't be able to function outside of school where the wave doesn't exist."
Lori understood.
"Well, you don't have to worry about me, Mom. I don't think I'm as crazy about it as I was a couple of days ago."
Mrs. Saunders nodded.
No, I didn't think you would be, once you thought about it for a while.
So what's the problem? Laurie asked.
The problem is everyone else at school who still takes it seriously, her mother said.
Oh, Mom, you're the one who's taking this too seriously. Do you want to know what I think? I think it's just a fad. It's like punk rock or something. In 2 months, no one will even remember what the wave was.
Mrs. Billings told me that they're organizing a wave rally for Friday afternoon, Mrs. Saunders said.
It's just a pep rally for the football game on Saturday, Laurie explained. The only difference is they're calling it a wave rally instead of a pep rally,
at which they will formally indoctrinate 200 new members, Mrs. Saunders asked skeptically. Laurie sighed.
Mom, listen to me. You're really getting paranoid about this whole thing. Nobody's indoctrinating anyone. They're going to welcome new members to the wave at the rally. Those people would have come to the pep rally anyway. Really, Mom, the wave is just a game. It's like little boys playing soldier. I wish you could meet Mr. Ross, because then you'd see there's nothing to worry about. He's such a good teacher. He'd never get into anything like cults.
And you're not disturbed by it at all? Mrs. Saunders asked.
Mom, the only thing that disturbs me is that so many kids in my class could allow themselves to get caught up in something so immature. I mean, I guess I can understand why David is into it. He's convinced that it's going to turn the football team into a winner. But it's Amy I can't understand. I mean, well, you know Amy. She's so bright, and yet I see her taking this so seriously.
So you are worried, her mother said. But Laurie shook her head.
No, Mom, that's the only thing that bothers me, and that isn't much. I promise you, Mom, this is a molehill and you're looking for a mountain. Really, trust me.
Mrs. Saunders rose slowly.
Well, all right, Laurie. At least I know you're not involved in this situation.
I suppose that's enough to be thankful for.
But please, babe, be careful.
She leaned over, kissed her daughter on the forehead, and left the room. For a few minutes, Laurie sat at her desk but did not go back to her homework. Instead, she chewed on a Bic pen and thought about her mother's concerns. She really was blowing it way out of proportion, wasn't she? It really was just a fad, wasn't it?
Chapter 10. Ben Ross was having coffee in the faculty lounge when someone came in and told him Principal Owens wanted to see him in his office. Ross felt a tremor of nervousness. Had something gone wrong? If Owens wanted to see him, it had to be about the wave. Ross stepped out into the hall and started down toward the principal's office. On the way, more than a dozen students paused to give him the wave salute. He returned them and continued quickly, wondering what Owens was going to say. In one sense, if Owens was going to tell him that there had been complaints and that he should stop the experiment, Ross knew he would feel some relief. Honestly, he had never expected the wave to spread this far. The news that kids in other classes, kids in other grades even, had gotten into the wave still amazed him. He simply hadn't intended it to be anything like this. And yet there was another consideration. The so-called losers in the class, Robert Billings, for example. For the first time in his life, Robert was an equal, a member, part of the group. No one was making fun of him anymore. No one was giving him a hard time. And the change in Robert was indeed remarkable. Not only had his appearance improved, but he was starting to contribute. For the first time, he was an active member of his class. And it wasn't just history. Christy said she was noticing it in music, too. Robert seemed like a new person. To end the wave might mean returning Robert to the role of class creep and taking away the only chance he had. And wouldn't ending the experiment now also cheat the other students who were taking part in it?
Ben wondered. They would be left hanging without a chance to see where it would eventually lead them. And he would lose the chance to lead them there. Ben abruptly stopped. Hey, wait a minute. Since when was he leading them anywhere? This was a classroom experiment, remember? An opportunity for his students to get a taste of what life in Nazi Germany might have been like. Ross smiled to himself. Let's not get carried away, he thought, and continued down the hall. Principal Owens's door was open, and when he saw Ben Ross enter the anteroom, he motioned him in with a wave. Ben was slightly confused. On the way down to the office, he'd somehow convinced himself that Principal Owens was going to chew him out, but the old man appeared to be in a good mood. Principal Owens was a towering man who stood over 6 feet 4 inches. His head was almost completely bald, except for a few tufts of hair above either ear. His only other noteworthy feature was his pipe, always present, which protruded from his lips. He had a deep voice, and when he was angry, he might instill instant religion in the most hardened atheist. But today it seemed as if Ben had nothing to fear. Principal Owens sat behind his desk, his large black shoes propped up on one corner, and squinted slightly at Ben. Say, Ben, that's a good-looking suit, he said. Owens himself had never been seen around Gordon High in less than a three-piece, even at a Saturday football game. Thank you, sir, Ben replied nervously. Principal Owens smiled. I can't recall seeing you in one before. Yes, this is something new for me, Ben allowed. One of the principal's eyebrows rose. Wouldn't have anything to do with this wave thing, would it? Ben had to clear his throat. Well, yes, it does, actually. Principal Owens leaned forward. Now tell me, Ben, what this wave thing is all about, he said. You've got the school in a tizzy. Well, I hope it's a good tizzy, Ben Ross replied. Principal Owens rubbed his chin. From what I've heard, it is. Have you heard differently? Ben knew he had to reassure him. He quickly shook his head. No, sir, I've heard nothing. The principal nodded. I'm all ears, Ben. Ben took a deep breath and began. It started several days ago in my senior history class. We were watching a film about the Nazis, and when he finished explaining the wave, Ben noticed that Principal Owens looked less happy than before, but not as noticeably displeased as Ben had feared he might be. The principal removed his pipe from between his lips and tapped it on an ashtray. I must say it's unusual, Ben. Are you sure that the students are not falling behind? If anything, they're ahead, Ben replied. But there are students outside your class that are now involved with this, the principal observed. But there have been no complaints, Ben said. In fact, Christy says she's even noticed an improvement in her classes because of it. This was a slight exaggeration, Ben knew. But he also felt it was necessary because Owens was overreacting to the wave. Still, Ben, these mottos and this saluting bother me, the principal said. It shouldn't, Ben replied. It's just part of the game. And also, Norm Schiller. Yes, yes, I know, Owen said, cutting him short. He was in here yesterday raving about this thing. He says it's literally turned that football team of his around. The way he was talking, Ben, you would have thought he'd just drafted 6 future Heisman Trophy winners. Frankly, I'd just like to see them beat Clarkstown on Saturday. The principal paused momentarily and then said, But that's not what I'm concerned about, Ben. I'm concerned about the students. This wave thing seems too open-ended for my liking. I know you haven't broken any rules, but there are limits. I'm completely aware of that, Ben insisted. You have to understand that this experiment can't go any further than I let it go. The whole basis for the wave is the idea of a group willing to follow their leader.
And as long as I'm involved in this, I assure you it can't get out of hand. Principal Owens refilled his pipe with fresh tobacco and lit it, for a moment disappearing behind a small cloud of smoke while he considered Ben's words.
Okay, he said. To be perfectly frank about this, it's so different from anything we've ever had around here that I'm not sure what to think. I say, let's keep an eye on this thing, Ben. And keep your ears open, too. Remember, Ben, this experiment, if that's what you want to call it, involves young, impressionable kids. Sometimes we forget that they are young and haven't developed the judgment we hope they'll someday have. Sometimes they can take something too far if they're not watched. Understand?
Absolutely.
You promise me I'm not going to have a parade of parents down here suddenly shouting that we're indoctrinating their kids with something?
I promise, Ben said. Principal Owens nodded slightly.
Well, I can't say that I'm crazy about this, but you've never given me cause to doubt you before.
And I won't now, Ben told him.
Chapter 11. When Lori Saunders got to the publications office the next day, she found a plain white envelope on the floor. Early that morning, or late the afternoon before, someone must have slipped it under the door. Lori picked it up and closed the door behind her. Inside the envelope was a handwritten story with a note attached. Lori read the note. Dear editors of the Grapevine, this is a story I have written for the Grapevine. Don't bother looking for my name because you won't find it. I don't want my friends or other kids to know I wrote this. Scowling, Lori turned to the story. At the top of the page, the anonymous author had written a title. Welcome to the Wave, or else. I'm a junior here at Gordon High. 3 or 4 days ago, me and my friends heard about this thing called the Wave that all the seniors were getting into. We got interested. You know how juniors always want to be like the seniors. A bunch of us went to Mr. Ross's class to see what it was. Some of my friends liked what we heard, but some of us weren't sure. It looked like a dumb game to me. When the class was over, we started to leave. But this senior stopped us in the hall. I didn't know him, but he said he was in Mr. Ross's class and asked, did we want to join the Wave? Two of my friends said yes, and two said they didn't know, and I said I wasn't interested. This senior started telling us how great the Wave was. He said that the more kids who joined, the better it would get. He said almost all the seniors at school had joined, and most of the juniors, too. Pretty soon, my two friends who said first they didn't know changed their minds and said they wanted to join. Then the senior turned to me. Aren't you going to stick with your friends? He asked. I told him they were still my friends even if I didn't join. He kept asking me why I didn't want to join. I just told him I didn't feel like it. Then he got mad. He said pretty soon people in the Wave wouldn't want to be friends with people who weren't in it. He even said I'd lose all my friends if I didn't join. I think he was trying to scare me. But it backfired on him. One of my friends said he didn't see why anyone had to join who didn't want to. My other friends agreed and we left. Today, I found out that 3 of my friends joined after some other seniors talked to them. I saw that senior from Mr. Ross's class in the hall, and he asked if I had joined yet. I told him I didn't intend to. He said if I didn't join soon, it would be too late. All I want to know is, too late for what? Lori refolded the story and put it back in the envelope. Her thoughts about the Wave were beginning to come into focus. As Ben left Principal Owens's office, he saw several students putting up a large Wave banner in the hall. It was the day of the pep rally.
The wave rally, Ross had to remind himself. There were more students in the halls now, and he seemed to be making the wave salute non-stop. If this kept up for much longer, he was going to have one sore arm, he thought. Further down the hall, Brad and Eric were standing at a table handing out mimeographed pamphlets and shouting, "Strength through discipline! Strength through community! Strength through action!" "Learn all about the wave," Brad was telling passing students. "Here's a pamphlet." "And don't forget the wave rally this afternoon," Eric reminded them. "Work together and achieve your goals." Ben smiled wearily. The untethered energy of these kids was tiring him out. There were wave posters all over school now. Every single wave member seemed to be involved in some activity. Recruiting new members, disseminating information, preparing the gym for the rally that afternoon. Ben found it almost overwhelming. A little further down the hall, Ben had a funny sensation and stopped. He felt as if he was being followed. A few feet behind him stood Robert, smiling. Ben smiled back and kept going, but a few seconds later he stopped again. Robert was still behind him. "Robert, what are you doing?" Mr. Ross asked. "Mr. Ross, I'm your bodyguard," Robert announced.
"My what?"
Robert hesitated slightly.
"I want to be your bodyguard," he said. "I mean, you're the leader, Mr. Ross. I can't let anything happen to you."
"What could happen to me?" Ben asked, startled by the notion. But Robert seemed to ignore that question.
"I know you need a bodyguard," he insisted. "I could do it, Mr. Ross. For the first time in my life, I feel... well, nobody makes jokes about me anymore. I feel like I'm part of something special."
Ben nodded.
"So can't I do it?" Robert asked. "I know you need a bodyguard. I could do it, Mr. Ross."
Ben looked into Robert's face. Where there had once been a withdrawn and unconfident boy, there now stood a serious wave member, concerned for his leader. "But a bodyguard?" Ben hesitated a moment. Wasn't that going a little too far? More and more, he'd begun to recognize the position of importance his students were unconsciously forcing upon him, the ultimate leader of the wave. Several times over the last few days, he had heard wave members discussing orders he had given, orders to put posters up in the halls, orders to organize the wave movement in the lower grades, even the order to change the pep rally into a wave rally. Except the crazy thing was, he'd never given these orders. Somehow they'd simply evolved in the students' imaginations, and once there, they automatically assumed he'd given them. It was as if the wave had taken on a life of its own, and now he and his students were literally riding it. Ben Ross looked at Robert Billings. Somewhere in his mind, he knew that by agreeing to let Robert be his bodyguard, he was also agreeing to become a person who required a bodyguard. But wasn't that what the experiment required as well? "All right, Robert," he said. "You can be my bodyguard." A wide smile appeared on Robert's face. Ben winked at him and continued down the hall. Perhaps having a bodyguard would be helpful. It was essential to the experiment that he maintain the image of leader of the wave. Having a bodyguard could only enhance that image. Chapter 12. The wave rally would be in the gym, but Lori Saunders stood by her locker, uncertain that she wanted to go. She still couldn't put into words exactly what bothered her about the wave, but she could feel it growing inside her. Something was wrong. The anonymous letter that morning was a symptom. It wasn't only that a senior had tried to bully a junior into joining the wave. It was more. The fact that the junior hadn't put his name on the letter, the fact that he'd been afraid to,
It was something Lori herself had been trying to deny for days, but it just wouldn't go away. The wave was scary. Oh, it was just great if you were an unquestioning member. But if you weren't. Lori's thoughts were interrupted by a sudden flurry of shouts out in the quadrangle. She quickly went to a window and saw that two boys were fighting while a crowd of kids stood watching and yelling at them. Lori gasped. One of the fighters was Brian Ammon. She watched as they threw punches at each other and then awkwardly wrestled to the ground. What in the world? Now a teacher ran out and separated the two fighters. Grabbing each tightly by the arm, he started tugging them inside, no doubt to Principal Owens's office. As he went, Brian shouted, "Strength through discipline! Strength through community! Strength through action!" The other boy shouted back, "Ah, shove it!" "You see that?" The sudden sound of a voice so close to her startled Lori, and she jumped around to find David beside her. "I hope Principal Owens lets Brian attend the wave rally after this," David said. "Were they fighting about the wave?" Lori asked. David shrugged. "It's more than that. That kid Brian was fighting, he's this junior named Deutsch who's been after Brian's position all year. This thing's been brewing for weeks. I just hope he got what he deserved." "But Brian was shouting the wave motto," Lori said. "Well, sure, he's really into it. We all are." "Even the kid he was fighting?" David shook his head. "Nah, Deutsch is a jerk, Lori. If he was in the wave, he wouldn't be trying to steal Brian's position. That guy's a real detriment to the team. I wish Schiller would throw him off." "Because he isn't in the wave?" Lori asked. "Yeah," David replied. "If he really wanted the best for the team, he'd join the wave instead of giving Brian such a hard time. He's a one-man team, Lori. He's just on a big ego trip and he's not helping anyone." David looked down the hall at a clock. "Come on, we've got to get to that rally. It's going to start in a second." Suddenly, Lori made a decision. "I'm not going," she said.
"What?"
David looked shocked.
"Why not?"
"Because I don't want to."
"Lori, this is an incredibly important rally," David said. "All the new members of the wave are going to be there."
"David, I think you and everyone else are taking this whole wave thing a little bit too seriously."
David shook his head. "No, I'm not. You're not taking this seriously enough. Look, Lori, you've always been a leader. The other kids, they've always looked up to you. You've got to be at that rally."
"But that's exactly why I'm not going," Lori tried to explain. "Let them make up their own minds about the wave. They're individuals. They don't need me to help them."
"I don't understand you," David said.
"David, I can't believe how crazy everybody's gotten. The wave is taking over everything."
"Sure," David said. "Because the wave makes sense, Lori. It works. Everybody's on the same team. Everybody's equal for once."
"Oh, that's terrific," Lori said sarcastically. "Do we all score a touchdown?"
David stepped back and studied his girlfriend.
He hadn't expected anything like this. Not from Lori. "Don't you see?" Lori said, mistaking his hesitation for a glimmer of doubt. "You're so idealistic, David. You're so intent on creating some kind of utopian wave society full of equal people and great football teams that you don't see it at all. It can't happen, David. There will always be a few people who won't want to join. They have a right not to join."
David squinted at his girlfriend. "You know," he said, "you're just against this thing because you're not special anymore. Because you're not the best and most popular student in the class now."
"That's not true, and you know it," Lori gasped.
"I think it is true," David insisted. "Now you know how the rest of us felt listening to you always giving the right answers, always being the best. How does it feel not to be the best anymore?"
"David, you're being stupid," Lori yelled at him.
David nodded. "All right, if I'm so stupid, why don't you go find yourself a smart boyfriend?"
He turned and walked away toward the gym. Laurie stood behind and watched him. It's crazy, she thought. Everything is going out of control. From what Laurie could hear, the Wave rally was a giant success. She was spending the period in the publications office down the hall. It was the only place she could think of going where she would be safe from the questioning looks of kids wondering why she wasn't at the rally. Laurie did not want to admit that she was hiding, but it was true. That was how crazy this whole thing had become. You had to hide if you weren't part of it. Laurie took out a pen and chewed on it nervously. She had to do something. The grapevine had to do something. A few minutes later, the turning of the doorknob shook her from her thoughts. Laurie caught her breath. Had someone come to get her? The door opened, and Alex bopped into the beat of the music coming through his earphones. Laurie sank back in her chair and let out a big sigh. When Alex saw Laurie, he smiled and pulled the earphones off his head.
Hey, how come you're not in with the troops?
Laurie shook her head.
Alex, it's not that bad.
But Alex just grinned.
Oh, yeah? Pretty soon they're gonna have to change the name of this school to Fort Gordon High.
I'm not amused, Alex, Laurie said. Alex scrunched up his shoulders and made a face.
Laurie, you must learn that nothing is above ridicule.
Well, if you think they're troopers, aren't you frightened of being drafted too? Laurie asked. Alex grinned.
Who, me?
Then he swiped through the air with several fierce-looking karate chops.
Anyone hassles me and I'll kung fu them into chopped suey.
The door of the publications office opened again, and now Carl slipped in. Seeing Laurie and Alex there, he smiled.
Looks like I've stumbled into Anne Frank's attic, he said.
The last of the rugged individuals, Alex said. Carl nodded.
I believe it. I just came from the rally.
They let you out? Alex asked.
I had to go to the bathroom, Carl answered.
Hey, man, Alex said.
You got the wrong place.
Carl grinned.
This is where I went after the bathroom. Any place but that rally.
Join the club, Laurie said.
Maybe we should give ourselves a name, Alex said. If they're the Wave, we could be the Ripple.
What do you think? Carl asked. About calling ourselves the Ripple? Laurie said.
No, about the Wave.
I think it's time we put out that issue of the Grapevine, Laurie said.
Excuse me for injecting my own not always serious opinion, Alex said. But I think we ought to put it out fast before the rest of the staff gets carried away by the mighty Wave.
Pass the word around to the other staff members, Laurie said. On Sunday at 2 o'clock, we'll have an emergency meeting at my house. And try to make sure only non-Wave members are there. That night, Laurie stayed alone in her room. All afternoon, she'd been too preoccupied with the Wave to allow herself to feel anything about David. Besides, they'd had fights before. But earlier in the week, David had made a date to take her out that night. And here it was, 10:30. It was obvious he wasn't coming, but Laurie couldn't quite believe it. They'd been going together since sophomore year, and suddenly something as trivial as the Wave had broken them up. Only the Wave wasn't trivial. Not anymore. Several times during the evening, Mrs. Saunders had come up to her room to ask if she wanted to talk about it. But Laurie said she didn't. Her mother was such a worrywart. And the problem was that this time there really was something worth worrying about. Laurie had been sitting at her desk trying to write something about the Wave for the Grapevine. But so far the page of paper before her was empty, except for a few watermarks where a tear or two had fallen. There were knocks on her door, and Laurie quickly wiped her eyes with the palm of her hands. It was no use. If her mother came in, she'd see that she was crying. I don't want to talk, Mom, she said. But the door had started to open anyway.
It's not your mom, babe.
Dad? Lori was surprised to see her father. It wasn't that she didn't feel close to him, but unlike her mother, he usually didn't get involved in her problems. Unless they somehow concerned golf.
"Can I come in?"
her father asked. "Well, Dad," Lori smiled slightly, "considering the fact that you're already in." Mr. Saunders nodded.
"I'm sorry to barge in, babe, but your mother and I are both worried."
"She told you David broke up with me?" Lori asked.
Yes, she did," Mr. Saunders said. "And I'm sorry about that, babe. I really am. I thought he was a nice boy."
"He was," Lori said. "Until the wave," she thought.
"But, I'm concerned about something else, Lori. About something I heard on the golf course this evening."
Mr. Saunders always left work early on Fridays to play 9 holes of golf in a twilight league before the sun went down.
"What, Dad?"
"Today after school, a boy was beaten up," her father said.
"Now, I got this story second-hand, so I don't know if it's all accurate. But apparently there was some kind of rally at school today, and he had resisted joining this wave game or said something critical about it."
Lori was speechless.
"The boy's parents are neighbors of one of the men I play golf with. They just moved in this year. So the boy must have been new at school."
"It sounds like he would have been a perfect candidate for joining the wave," Lori said.
"Maybe," said Mr. Saunders.
"But Lori, the boy is Jewish. Could that have had anything to do with it?" Lori's jaw dropped.
"You don't think... Dad, you can't believe there's anything like that going on. I mean, I don't like the wave, but it's not like that, Dad. I swear it isn't."
"Are you sure?"
Mr. Saunders asked.
"Well, I know everyone who was originally in the wave. I was there when it began. The whole idea was to show how something like Nazi Germany could have happened. It wasn't for us to become little Nazis.
It sounds like it's gotten out of hand, Lori," her father said. "Has it?"
Lori just nodded. She was too shocked to be able to say anything.
"Some of the men were talking about going to the school on Monday to talk to the principal," Mr. Saunders said. "Just, you know, to be on the safe side."
Lori nodded.
"We're going to put out a special issue of The Grapevine. We're going to expose this whole thing."
Her father was quiet for a few moments.
"That sounds like a good idea, babe. But be careful, okay?"
"I will, Dad," Lori said. "I promise."
Chapter 13. For the last 3 years during football season, sitting with Amy at Saturday afternoon games had become a habit for Lori. David, of course, was on the team, and while Amy didn't have a steady boyfriend, the guys she dated were almost always football players. By Saturday afternoon, Lori couldn't wait to see Amy. She had to tell her what she'd learned. It had surprised Lori that Amy had gone along with the wave so far, but now Lori was certain that as soon as Amy learned about the boy who was beaten up, she would quickly come to her senses. Besides, Lori sorely needed to talk to her about David. She still couldn't understand how something as dumb as the wave could have made David break up with her. Maybe Amy knew something she didn't know. Perhaps she could even talk to David for her. Lori got to the game just as it was starting. It was by far the best turnout of the year, and it took Lori a moment to spot Amy's head of curly blonde hair in the crowded bleachers. She was way up, almost at the top row. Lori hurried to an aisle and was about to start up when someone yelled, "Stop!" Lori stopped and saw Brad coming toward her.
"Oh, hi, Lori. I didn't recognize you from behind," he said.
Then he did the wave salute. Lori just stood there without moving. Brad frowned.
"Come on, Lori. Just give me the salute and you can go up."
What are you talking about, Brad?
You know, the wave salute.
You mean I can't go up into the stands unless I give the wave salute? Lori asked.
Brad looked around sheepishly. Well, that's what they decided, Lori.
Who were they? Lori asked.
The wave, Lori, you know.
Brad, I thought you were the wave. You're in Mr. Ross's class, Lori said.
Brad shrugged.
I know.
Look, what's the big deal? Just give me the salute and you can go up.
Lori looked up at the crowded stands.
You mean everyone in the stands gave you the salute?
Well, yeah. In this part of the stands.
Well, I want to go up, and I don't want to give the wave salute, Lori said angrily.
But you can't, Brad replied.
Who says I can't? Lori asked loudly.
Several students near them looked in their direction.
Brad blushed.
Look, Lori, he said in a low voice. Just do the stupid salute already.
But Lori was adamant.
No, this is ridiculous. Even you know it's ridiculous.
Brad squirmed slightly. Then he looked around again and said,
Okay, don't salute. Just go ahead. I don't think anyone's looking.
But all at once, Lori didn't want to join the people in the stands. She had no intention of sneaking anywhere to join the wave. This whole thing had just gone insane. Even some of the wave members like Brad knew it was insane.
Brad, she said, why are you doing this if you know it's stupid? Why are you a part of it?
Look, Lori, I can't talk about it now, Brad said. The game's starting. I'm supposed to let people into the stands. I got too much to do.
Are you afraid? Lori asked. Are you afraid of what the other wave members will do if you don't go along with them?
Brad's mouth opened. But for a few seconds, no sounds came out.
I'm not afraid of anyone, Lori, he said finally. And you better shut your mouth.
You know, a lot of people noticed that you weren't at the wave rally yesterday.
So? So what? Lori demanded.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you, Brad said.
Lori was aghast.
She wanted to know what he was trying to say. But there was a big play on the field. Brad turned away, and her words were lost in the roar of the crowd. Sunday afternoon, Lori and some of the staff of the Grapevine turned the Saunders living room into a newsroom as they put together a special edition of the paper devoted almost entirely to the wave. Several members of the newspaper were not there, and when Lori asked those present why, they seemed reluctant to answer at first. Then Carl said,
I have a feeling a few of our comrades would prefer not to incur the wrath of the wave.
Lori looked around the room at the other staffers, who were nodding in agreement with Carl's assessment.
Sniveling, spineless amoebas!
Alex shouted, jumping to his feet and raising his fist above his head.
I pledge to fight the wave until the end! Give me liberty, or give me acne!
He looked around at the puzzled faces.
Well, he explained. I figured acne was worse than death.
Sit down, Alex, someone said.
Alex sat, and the group returned to the job of putting together the newspaper. But Lori could sense that they were all acutely aware of the absent members. The special edition on the wave would include the story by the anonymous junior, and a report Carl had done on the sophomore who'd been beaten up. It turned out that the boy had not been hurt badly, only roughed up by a couple of hoods. There was even some uncertainty over whether it was over the wave, or whether the wave was just an excuse the hoods had used to start a fight. However, one of the hoods had called the boy a dirty Jew. The boy's parents told Carl they were keeping him out of school and planned to visit Principal Owens personally Monday morning. There were other interviews with worried parents and concerned teachers. But the most critical article was an editorial Lori had spent most of Saturday writing. It condemned the wave as a dangerous and mindless movement that suppressed freedom of speech and thought, and ran against everything the country was founded on.
She pointed out that the wave had already begun to do more harm than good. Even with the wave, the Gordon High Gladiators had lost to Clarkstown 42-6, and warned that unless it was stopped, it would do much worse. Carl and Alex said they'd take the paper to the printer first thing the next morning. The paper would be out by lunchtime. Chapter 14. There was one thing Lori had to do before the paper came out. Monday morning, she had to find Amy and explain to her about the story. She still hoped that as soon as Amy read it, she would see the wave for what it was and change her mind about it. Lori wanted to warn her in advance so she could get out of the wave in case there was trouble. She found Amy in the school library and gave her a copy of the editorial to read. As Amy read, her mouth began to open wider and wider. Finally, she looked up at Lori. "What are you going to do with it?" "I'm publishing it in the paper," Lori said. "But you can't say these things about the wave," Amy said. "Why not?" Lori asked. "They're true. Amy, the wave has become an obsession with everyone. No one is thinking for themselves anymore." "Oh, come on, Lori," Amy said. "You're just upset. You're letting your fight with David get to you." Lori shook her head. "Amy, I'm serious. The wave is hurting people, and everyone's going along with it like a flock of sheep. I can't believe that after reading this you'd still be part of it. Don't you see what the wave is? It's everybody forgetting who they are. It's like Night of the Living Dead or something. Why do you want to be part of it?" "Because it means that nobody is better than anyone else for once," Amy said. "Because ever since we became friends, all I've ever done is try to compete with you and keep up with you. But now I don't feel like I have to have a boyfriend on the football team like you. And if I don't want to, I don't have to get the same grades you get, Lori. For the first time in 3 years, I feel like I don't have to keep up with Lori Saunders and people will still like me." Lori felt chills run down her arms.
I always knew you felt that way," she stammered. "I always wanted to talk to you about it."
"Don't you know that half the parents in school say to their kids, 'Why can't you be like Lori Saunders?'" Amy asked. "Come on, Lori. The only reason you're against the wave is because it means you're not a princess anymore." Lori was stunned. Even her best friend, someone as smart as Amy, was turning against her because of the wave. It made her angry. "Well, I'm publishing this," she said. Amy only looked up at her and said, "Don't, Lori." But Lori shook her head. "I already have," she said. "And I know what I have to do." Suddenly, it was as if she was a stranger. Amy looked at her watch. "I gotta go," she said, and walked away, leaving Lori standing alone in the library. Copies of The Grapevine had never been scooped up faster than they were that day. The school was abuzz with the news. Very few kids had heard about the sophomore who was beaten up, and of course no one had heard the story by the anonymous junior before. But as soon as those stories appeared in the paper, other stories began to circulate. Stories of threats and abuse directed at kids who, for one reason or another, had resisted the wave. There were other rumors going around, too, that teachers and parents had been to Principal Owens's office all morning complaining, and that the school counselors had begun interviewing students. There was an air of unease in the halls and classrooms. In the faculty lounge, Ben Ross put down his copy of The Grapevine and rubbed his temples with his fingers. Suddenly, he'd gotten a terrible headache. Something had gone wrong, and somewhere in his mind, Ross suspected that he was to blame for it. The roughing up of this boy was terrible. Unbelievable. How could he justify an experiment that had such effects? He was also surprised to find himself disturbed by the football team's embarrassing defeat by Clarkstown. It seemed odd to him that although he didn't care the least about high school athletics, this defeat would bother him so. Was it because of the wave?
During the last week, he had begun to believe that if the football team fared well, it would be a strong argument for the success of the Wave. But since when did he want the Wave to succeed? The success or failure of the Wave was not the point of the experiment. He was supposed to be interested in what his students learned from the Wave, not in the Wave itself. There was a medicine chest in the faculty lounge, stocked with just about every brand of aspirin and non-aspirin headache remedy that had ever been invented. A friend of his had once remarked that while doctors as a group suffered from the highest incidence of suicide, teachers had to have the highest incidence of headaches. Ben shook 3 tablets from a bottle and headed for the door to get some water. But just as he reached the faculty room door, Ben stopped. Outside in the hall, he could hear voices. Norm Schiller's and another male voice he didn't recognize. Someone must have stopped Norm just as he was going into the faculty lounge, and now he stood outside the door talking. Ben listened from inside. "No, it wasn't worth a damn," Schiller was saying. "Sure, it got them psyched up, made them think they could win. But out on the field they couldn't execute. All the Waves in the world don't mean a thing next to a well-executed quarterback option. There's no substitute for learning the damn game."
"Ross really has these kids brainwashed, if you ask me," the unidentified man said. "I don't know what the hell he thinks he's up to, but I don't like it. And none of the other teachers I've talked to do either. Where does he get the right?"
"Don't ask me," Schiller said.
The faculty room door began to open, and Ben quickly backed away, pushing through a door into the small faculty bathroom that adjoined the lounge. His heart was pounding rapidly, and his head hurt even more. He swallowed the 3 aspirins and avoided looking at himself in the mirror. Was he afraid of who he might see? A high school history teacher who had accidentally slipped into the role of a dictator? David Collins still couldn't understand it. It didn't make sense to him why everyone hadn't joined the Wave in the first place. Then there never would have been these hassles. They all could have functioned as equals, as teammates. People were laughing and saying that the Wave didn't help the football team at all on Saturday. But what did they expect? The Wave wasn't a miracle drug. The team had known about the Wave for exactly 5 days before the game. What had changed was the team spirit and the team attitude. David stood outside on the school lawn with Robert Billings and a bunch of other kids from Mr. Ross's class looking at the grapevine. Lori's story made him feel a little sick. He hadn't heard anything about anyone threatening or hurting anyone, and for all he knew, she and her staff had made it all up. An unsigned letter and a story about a sophomore he'd never heard of. Okay, he was unhappy that Lori refused to be part of the Wave. But why couldn't she and the people like her just leave the Wave alone? Why did they have to attack it? Robert, beside him, was getting really upset over Lori's story.
"These are all lies," he said angrily. "She can't be allowed to say these things."
"It's not that important," David told him. "Nobody cares what Lori's writing or what she has to say."
"Are you kidding?" Robert said.
"Anyone who reads this is going to get the completely wrong idea about the Wave."
"I told her not to publish it," Amy said.
"Hey, relax," David said. "There's no law that says people have to believe in what we're trying to do. But if we can keep making the Wave work, they'll see. They'll see all the good things it can do."
"Yeah, but if we don't watch out," Eric said, "these people are going to ruin it for the rest of us. Have you heard the rumors going around today? I heard there are parents and teachers and all kinds of people in Principal Owens's office complaining. Can you believe that? At this rate, no one will get a chance to see what the Wave can do."
"Lori Saunders is a threat," Robert stated bluntly. "She must be stopped."
David didn't like the sinister tone in Robert's voice. "Hey, wait," he began to protest. But Brian cut him off.
"Don't worry, Robert. David and I can take care of Lori, right, Dave?"
David suddenly felt Brian's hand on his shoulder, slowly guiding him away from the rest of the group.
Robert was nodding in approval.
Look, man, Brian whispered. If anyone can get Lori to stop, you can.
Yeah, but I don't like Robert's attitude, David hissed back. It's like we must wipe out anyone who resists us. That's the exact opposite of how we should approach this.